Nehemiah chapter 6, let's begin reading in verse 10. Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 10, and we'll read down through verse 14. Afterward, I came into the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut up, and he said, "Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee." And I said, "Should such a man as I flee? And who is there that, being as I am, would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in." And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Therefore was he hired, that I should be afraid, and do so, and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. And we've come to, this is another attempt by the enemy to thwart the building of this wall. It's basically finished, but they just can't give up. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Satan is tenacious. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, according to what Peter said. So he doesn't give up. So we've got to stay on our guard. But right here, Nehemiah shows us what a man of integrity he really is. And we all should be people of integrity. Every one of us. We ought to be people that can be trusted to do what's right no matter what. To do what's right when we're by ourselves, or to do what's right when we're in a crowd. And that's exactly what we're going to look at today. Integrity under fire. Every generation needs men and women of integrity. Men and women who cannot be bought, bent, bribed, or bullied. Every time I think about integrity, I think of the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, and folks, they didn't burn. They were people, men of integrity. I think about Daniel. He refused to stop praying to God because he didn't hide it. He did it right out in the open. He was a man of integrity. He wouldn't be eaten by the lions either, would he? Nehemiah stands tall in Scripture because when the pressure mounts, when the threats intensify, when the enemy tries to lure him into compromise, he stands firm. Folks, Nehemiah is not just about building a wall. Nehemiah is about building a life. In verses 10 through 14, the enemy launches the final subtle attack. Not intimidation, not distraction, but temptation to compromise his integrity. That's where a lot of people fall. They fail to see the attempt. They think what they're about to do will be good. They do not engage their brain and think of the consequences of their actions. And folks, something our young people need to learn this day in which we live is that for every action, there is a consequence. Moms and dads need to bring out that rod of correction and drive the foolishness far from the child. Moms and dads need to say, "You cross this line, this is what's going to happen to you." And when they cross the line, that happens. They need to learn that with every action that they do, there's a consequence for it. It could be a good consequence if it's a good thing, and it could be a bad consequence if it's not. And stop trying to blame it on everybody else. "Well, they did it. They made me do it. I did it because of them." No, you did it. You made the choice. The consequences are yours. Nehemiah shows us how a man of God or a woman of God stands. How we don't compromise our integrity. The person of integrity discerns. They're discerning. Look at in verses 10 through 12, there's the setup. "Oh, Shimei, what'd he say? Let us meet together in the house of God, because they're coming to slay thee." Folks, he's supposed to be a prophet. He's supposed to be a man who speaks for God. And folks, do you know what it took for a man not to be a prophet and to be stoned? Was for anything that he prophesied or said not to come true. Here we have a hireling prophet. We have a man that's been paid to try to get Nehemiah to slip up. He spoke the religious language. He sounded spiritual. He quoted danger, urgency, and fear. But Nehemiah, folks, a man of integrity, he sensed that something was off. Is there anything that I read there that would, if you, in reading that, that would have caused you to think, well, what's up with that? Did you notice it says he was shut up in his house? Why was he quarantined to his house? Why was he under house arrest? It doesn't say. Now, maybe he had touched a dead body. Maybe he was unclean. I don't know. But I have a suspicion. Could it be, and listen, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this. You read a bunch of different commentators, they don't know either. Everybody is speculating. So if their speculation's okay, then I'm going to speculate. It may or may not be true, so you take that with a grain of salt. But could it be that he is pretending to hide from Sanballat? Could it be that it is part of the ruse? Could it be that he's there? Maybe he's trying to pretend like he's in trouble with them too, so that Nehemiah will listen to him. Because notice what he says, let us meet in the temple and let us close the doors. In other words, I need to run and hide too. Now, if that's the case, that could have been Nehemiah's first clue that something wasn't right. That something was rotten in Denmark. As Victor walked in this morning, y'all ever, you know, to me, if a good coffee smells almost like a skunk. I know that sounds crazy, but to my nose, a real good coffee smells almost like a skunk. If Victor walked in this morning, he said, smell like a skunk in here. So that's just good coffee. A lot of times, though, when you smell a skunk, what's in the house? There's a skunk around there somewhere. Now, living on a farm, that wouldn't be unusual. But the point is, something caused his attention to perk up. And he has a discernment. He says, I perceive that God had not sent him. And I'll get more to that here in just a well, let's just go ahead and do it. What does this prophet ask him or tell him needs to be done? He needs to go into the temple and lock the doors. Folks, no true prophet from God would ever lead someone to violate the scriptures. If somebody is trying to get you to do something that violates the word of God, that didn't come from God. That's Satan trying to trip you up. The best friend you've got is the one that will tell you the truth and the one that will never do one thing to cause you to compromise the word. Period. And if your friends try to get you to do stuff that you know is wrong, don't do it. Don't compromise your integrity. Integrity requires that discernment. Do y'all realize, and let me back up just a second. The reason that he knew that this was bad was because the only people that were allowed to go where this prophet wanted them to go was the priest. That's the only one that could go there. So it violated the word. Not every word from God, folks, is from God. Did y'all understand how I meant that? You got people out there right now saying, this is what God says. And God's not in it. Just because you attach the name of God to it don't mean that God's behind it. Just because you attach the name Jesus to it doesn't mean Jesus wants anything to do with it. Just because you put the name Baptist above the door don't mean it's a Baptist either. Might be Baptist in name, but not in practice. Did you realize that there are a lot of people who are doctrinally sound but practically wrong? They know what the Bible says, but they don't practice what the Bible says. A whole lot of people out there like that. But just because, you know, I remember an individual, and I won't call his name, none of y'all would know him, but this was at my first church. When he would get up in a business meeting, and after he got, you know, when he would talk, he brought it out like, if you disagree with me, you're disagreeing with God, because this is what God wants. Folks, be careful around stuff like that. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of times that I've made recommendations, and I'm saying, you know, I've been praying about this, and I feel like this is what God wants, but only time will tell. Like Brother Brooks used to say, give me 25 years, and I'll tell you if I found God's will or not. Because you can look back and see, did I make the right choice? You think you did what God wanted you to do, but a few years down the road, you can look back and you'll know whether or not you made the right choice because of the way God either blessed it or the way it fell apart. Not every spiritual voice is a holy voice. Not every religious person is a righteous person. Folks, listen to me. Satan's angels are able to transform themselves into ministers of light. You've got a lot of charlatans out there today that know the religious jargon. They know the spiritual technology. They know what to say so that you'll swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. And when you get it swallowed, you'll find out like a baby bird that it was a China berry and you choked to death on it. Don't, just because they say they're a preacher don't mean that they're from God. Even John said, try the spirits. You got to be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. You've got to look at the, you got to know what the Bible says so you'll know if that person is preaching and teaching the truth or not. Now let me say this. Everybody makes a mistake occasionally. But the preachers I'm talking about, and it don't have to be a preacher in the pulpit, it could just be somebody that likes to lead people around, that likes to have the accolades. They don't just make a mistake. They do it on purpose. They do it on purpose. So he said, you know, he's discerning it. He recognized the message contradicted God's word. If it contradicts the word, you better spit it out. I don't care who's standing behind the pulpit. I don't care whether you listen to them on the radio or on the television or you go to some meeting somewhere. If it's the truth, accept it. If it's not, spit it out. Be discerning. Refuse to be manipulated by fear. What does Paul tell Timothy? God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power. We don't have to stand afraid before the world. And while I'm on this, let me go ahead and tell you this. Do you realize that when we preach the truth of the Word of God, we don't owe anybody an apology? You don't owe this world an apology. When you preach the truth, that's it. You don't have to apologize for what God has said. Know the difference between God's voice and man's schemes. I would suggest this. Before you do anything, you probably need to pray about it. Probably need to pray about it. Discernment, folks, is the first line of defense of your integrity. A man of integrity refuses to compromise his character. Verse 11. Should such a man as I flee, and who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life, I will not go in. That's one of the greatest statements of integrity in the Bible. Should such a man as I flee. Now, if you read some commentators, they say what he was saying was, I'm not a priest. And that's part of it. But I think it goes deeper than that. I think Nehemiah knew who he was. I think he knew exactly who he was. He wasn't arrogant. But he was anchored. He knew he was a child of God doing God's work. And he wasn't going to compromise that. He wasn't going to flee in the face of the enemy. I think about Ezra. Ezra had bragged about how big God was. The king said, okay, take all of this gold and silver, take all these vessels back to Jerusalem. And then, listen to this, he offered Ezra, the king's bodyguard. In other words, he offered a military escort through a bunch of thieves, 900 miles of thieves. You know what Ezra said? This is in our language. Ezra said, I would be ashamed of myself after bragging about how big my God is if I took your insurance policy. He refused it because he had bragged about how big God was. He wasn't going to compromise. Ezra made it safely. He knew his calling. He knew his responsibilities. Folks, who are you? If you're a child of God, you're a child of the King. You're a member of Antioch Missionary Baptist Church. You represent. Do you realize in this world you represent the family you were born into? You represent the church of your membership. You represent the kingdom of God. You represent heaven, so to speak. You represent the Lord Jesus Christ everywhere you go. Every time I'd take a group of kids off somewhere, I'd always ask for permission to speak to them before they got off the bus. And I'd tell them, you represent your mom and your daddy. You represent Dirk's High School. If you're a child of God, you represent him. If you're a member of a church, you represent that church. Don't do anything out there that would compromise or make any of us look bad. Don't do it. Be what you're supposed to be. Nehemiah knew that his testimony mattered. So a man of integrity or a woman of integrity, they know who they are and they know who they're not. They know whose they are, they know what they stand for, and they're willing to take that stand and not compromise it. Nehemiah knew he was right. He knew he was not a priest. Entering the temple would violate God's law, Numbers 18 and 7. Integrity means obeying God even when it might be costly. Even it might cost you a friend. It might cost you a position in a company. It might cost you a few dollars. It might cost you blood, sweat, and tears. I don't know. But people of integrity are willing to pay that cost. He knew what was at stake. If Nehemiah compromised, his leadership would collapse. His credibility would evaporate. His enemies would rejoice. Do y'all realize that integrity is not tested in the spotlight? It is tested in the shadows. It's tested when you're by yourself and it'd be easy to run. See, a man of integrity, a person of integrity says, I won't cheat. I won't lie. I'll not abandon my post. I'll not violate God's word. Even when no one's watching. Not just in front of other believers, but when nobody else is watching. Even when it would be easier to give in. Even when fear whispers take the shortcut, a person of integrity refuses to do it. A person of integrity trusts God to expose the enemy. Look what he does. He saw the trap. Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Verse 12. The enemy's goal was pretty simple. Get Nehemiah to sin. Ruin his reputation and stop the work. Simple as that, isn't it? Corrupt the man, collapse the mission. If they could get him to sin, then they got fingers to point. If they got him to do what he was doing, they can point fingers, say he's ruined his reputation, and the work would stop. Nehemiah saw that strategy. He says they did it that I should be afraid and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report. Do you realize the devil don't want you to fall very far? He don't need you to fall far. Just far enough for the enemy to give an evil report. Just far enough for the tongues to start to wag. Just far enough for the finger to start to point. One moment of compromise can undo years of faithfulness. Folks, you can spend a lifetime building a reputation of integrity and ruin it in just a minute. One decision, It's why we've got to be people of discernment, on our guard all the time. You know, we're in the tornado season. Of course, we're chuckling around here. We're just hoping to get some rain. It takes nature 200 years to build a nice oak tree. And she herself, with one little gust of wind, can destroy it in a matter of seconds. And it becomes nothing more than firewood. So spend your life and just be a person of integrity from now till you die. Nehemiah gave the battle to God. He said, "My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat." Our first desire is to retaliate. Get back at them. Scheme and plan ourselves. But he didn't, did he? He didn't even argue. He didn't defend himself. He just said, "Lord, you take care of the enemy. You take care of them. You see what they're trying to do." Man of integrity leaves vengeance to God. He trusts God to handle the enemy. He keeps his hands clean and his heart pure. Keeps his focus on the work. And I'm telling you from personal experience, there are times that you might want to throttle somebody, but it's best to leave that up to the Lord. I have learned in my years of ministry and in my life since 1974, the more I can keep old Bobby Neal out of it, the better off it is. Because I'm still a sinner, and I want to do things my way. But if I can keep me out of the way, God has a way of dealing with things, and he'll do it in ways that you didn't even believe. Keep your focus on the work. Keep your focus on the finish line. And don't let anybody cause you to compromise your integrity. Person of integrity finishes the work. In the next few verses, the work is going to be finished. Compromise, folks, delays the work, but integrity completes it. Nehemiah's question echoes across the centuries. Should such a man as I flee? We need to ask ourselves the same question. First of all, what kind of person am I? If I'm not saved, I need to get saved. If I am saved, then I need to act like it. I need to live like it. Such a man as I should not bend to pressure, should not compromise truth, should not abandon conviction, should not hide in fear, should not violate Scripture. It is a call to action. A call to guard your integrity. Your family needs you to guard it. Your church needs it. The testimony needs it. The lost world needs to see God's people being people of integrity. And that way, whenever we do witness to them, it carries weight. But if they see us as being no different than they are, if we're just as fast to cheat or steal or lie as they are, you start telling them about Jesus, they're already as good as you are in their eyes. So we need to be people of integrity. We need to reject compromise, stand firm in our identity, trust God with our enemies, and be like Nehemiah. Finish the work. There's a race that was set out before you the day you got saved. Finish that race. And I want to tell you something. In most cases, it's not how you start that counts. It's how you finish. Jesus started it, and he'll also finish it. But how are you running the race between then and now and then?